The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
We're talking free agent pickup. Looking ahead to next week's two-star pitchers here on the Friday edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with FSWA Hall of Famer Todd Zola. Todd, busy week for you, man. I saw you were on, what, two other podcasts this week, a couple XM shows. So a busy week for you.
Yeah, plus this is the first full week of Todd's Takes. So, no, yeah, it's been great. Yeah,
right. I filled your show, your game notes.
Yeah. And plus, you know, game notes, plus a little just kind of general observations. But yeah, Jeff's away. Nacky's back now. So the powers that be asked that I fill in for Tuesday, talking to Fred Zinke. And Fred and I go way back. We worked together at fantasybaseball.com in the knots. That's what they're called, right? The 2000s?
The aughts.
Well, yeah. for me, it felt more like the knots, but not with Fred, just in general. All right. Anyway. Then yesterday, Thursday, and these are both still available, the industry guest podcast. So who else am I going to invite than my buddy Brian Walton? Brian needs a little more exposure. He may not say so, but deserves a little more exposure. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So I was real thrilled. I'm really happy that he said he could make it too. So that was cool.
Yeah, go back, check out that with Brian Walton and Todd's Tuesday pod with Fred Zinke. Good to have Jeff back in the mix. Hope you had a great vacation, but that'll be fun. I love your shirt, by the way, Todd. I know not everybody can see it because they're listening to it, but if you're with us on YouTube, you got the First Pitch Arizona TM.
There's a reason, right? They announced, did you see it? They announced the schedule.
I thought that may be why you were.
Yeah, I was kind of a little pumped. Yeah. We knew
new additions this year, too.
Yeah, I'm psyched. It's going to be the first weekend in November, which is coincidental with the Fall Stars game. But Friday, there's going to be a home run derby.
I'm pumped for that. Yeah,
I can't imagine, you know, Spore setting up some kind of side bet thing in the stands. Can you?
No, that'll never happen.
We won't be getting jelly beans on who hits home runs. No way. this is the same group that literally has a fantasy contest on the Fall Stars game, mm-hmm. at drafting players before the game. I'm curious to see
All Stars.
Right. I'm curious to see if there's going to be games on Friday afternoon and then the home run at night. Because I mean, it sounds cool, but I don't want to miss regular games on Friday. So we'll see. But yeah, just in general too. There's going to be a triple header at Chase Field. We're not going to be around for that, but
yeah,
I think that's cool. And they're extending the playoffs. Hopefully, knock on wood, this avails more opportunities for MLB Network to showcase, to broadcast some of these things, which I think would be great.
Absolutely. Hopefully, if you haven't done it before, you can make it down to First Pitch Arizona, put on by our good friends at Baseball HQ, and you can come with us to some AFL games this fall. That'll creep up on us in a hurry. You know, it seems like a long ways away now, but a couple months.
I'm looking at flights. Usually stay a little before, a little after, so I'm waiting for the schedule to come out. But the greatest part about the Home Run Derby and the Fall Stars game is it's within walking distance of the Site Hotel, we're staying at the same place that we were at last year, and that's within walking distance of Sloan Park. So don't, you know, renting a car, this, that, getting rides, you know, I waddle on over. If I can waddle on over, anybody can. And that's just great.
Well, I'll waddle on over with you.
So there we go.
Looking forward to that.
That's the Penguins.
A few months away now. It'll be here before you know it. So yeah, if you want to come join us at First Pitch, maybe start poking around and thinking about possibilities. I'm a huge Home Run Derby guy, as most baseball fans are. And I've told this story a couple times, but I saw a Home Run Derby here in Madison, the Madison Mallards, like probably 5 years ago. Jose Canseco was bested in this Home Run Derby by Pete Alonso. Madison. It was crazy. I mean, I think I got a retweet from Canseco afterwards. Just a weird day, but yeah, I didn't know who Pete Alonso was. He was just some kid out of North Carolina at the time, playing some summer ball here. And Madison Mallards is not affiliated, but the summer league team. But real quick, before we get into two-star pitchers, just some free agent pickups from the staff league from last night. Kendall Graveman, as you might expect, was the top pitcher picked up. $12, so a little window for him to close. And who's to say that Liam Hendricks comes back on time in 3 weeks and is the same old Liam Hendricks?
Who's to say he comes back in 3 weeks?
Yeah. I think that was kind of what they were hoping anyway.
Well, it's the forearm strain. And sometimes a forearm strain is a forearm strain, right?
Yeah. Typically a 3 week injury.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes a forearm strain is code for Tommy John. So, I mean, I'm not telling anybody, people don't know, but yeah. So that's the thing right now. We usually find out within a week, you know, the next note on our site, it will be, you know, it was discovered in knee surgery. Hopefully not, but, you know, and if you have Hendricks, you're not out of the woods as far as, you know, 3 weeks on edge of our seats sort of thing. And we don't need to rehash now, you know, the strategy. Should you draft a guy early, a closer, blah, 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 plenty of time for that. And I don't think that what happened with Hendricks is much of a reason to or not to. I think injury is a risk throughout the draft that just kind of washes itself out. But yeah, it's Graveman, you got to be number one. Aaron Bummer, isn't he still on the IL?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe Bummer is still.
And there. Yeah, this bullpen is now, which was a strength, even after trading Kimbrel, which is kind of a foregone conclusion, is now it's sort of depleted. Gary Crochet, we don't talk about him much anymore because it was early in the season, but he's gone. Kyle Crick, who has actually helped out a little bit, lengthening it, is gone. Do you trust Joe Kelly? Do you trust Ronaldo Lopez? So this bullpen, when Graveman moves into the closer spot, the bridge to get to Graveman has significantly shortened.
Yeah, well put, man. And his teammate, Jake Berger, also picked up. He was the second highest priced acquisition. He's turned it on. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury right now, but they expect him back tonight. I haven't seen the lineup, but let's take a look here. Do we have the White Sox? No.
Hopefully it's not a whopper of an injury.
Oh, man. Well, hey, that's actually, for a burger pun, that ain't bad. Sir Anthony Dominguez was picked up. Six. Do you have a choice between him and Brad Hand and that Phillies bullpen to replace Knable?
See? No, you know what? Yeah, I don't think it's an exclusive shot for Dominguez. I think there'll be some matchups, but I think Dominguez is certainly the guy. And again, it's kind of not the same with Hendricks, but it's a similar. Who knows when Knable comes back? New manager wasn't all that effective. I don't mind Dominguez. It's how much do I spend? Because I'm more of a what have you done for me lately this year as opposed to he closes the season. I'm not sure that Dominguez is the guy the rest of the year, but if you've been kind of holding on for that one shot of a you know, not just nickel and diming, that one shot to get lucky and get a guy to close for the next 100 games, I don't know that I would take the shot on Dominguez, but I wouldn't call you out for doing it either.
Yeah, they are saying it's going to be a committee. And, of course, we know Brad Hand has a ton of experience. So,
not all of it good, though.
True, especially lately. But yeah, a lot of experience closing games, a lot of career saves to his ledger. So, you know, maybe it's Hand, or maybe Dominguez struggles a little bit, then they kind of turn over to Hand. But
well, we should.
I know we have Dominguez number one on our depth chart.
Yeah, I have to check the inning. The game must, and we may. The game will probably. Well, no, what you know what we may. We may be bleh, 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 easy for me to say. Been talking a lot this week. We may be able to announce who's closing. Gets the first shot during the doubleheader today because the Phillies have a short 3-run lead and. We may get to the ninth inning by the time we're analyzing the Washington Nationals two start pitchers.
Yeah, definitely a good thing to keep in mind. We may have see who gets now, the first shot.
It's there. A night game tonight, so if you know it may be Dominguez one and Hand the other, but whoever gets the first one, I think is telltale.
Orlando Arcia picked up. I kind of understood it given that Ozzie Albies is out and Arcia stepping in, but James noted that Orlando Arcia's hard hit numbers are actually pretty good. So he's been around a long time. I didn't really consider him much last night, but at least playing time should be on his side.
And he's had a nice week.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you guys don't get the numbers clearly, but he's had a nice couple of days since Albies went out. So I think that's, I think his price went up a bit. I don't know that I don't know what he went. What did he go for?
5 out of 100.
You know, I bet that was a $1 or $2 bid before he had a nice little week here.
Yeah, probably. JT Brubaker picked up for 5. Then Jaren Duran, he's back for now, but who knows how long it's going to be. It could be another short stay for Duran.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a short stay. And then was it Christian Arroyo that's gone on the COVID-19 list? Yes. So, but keeping in mind, everybody, that come Monday, teams are going to need to cut down to 13 pitchers.
I just saw that, yeah.
Yeah, they're finally going to, you know, they've been postponing that cut down. So they're finally, at least today, as of today, going to adhere to it. Now, not all teams are carrying 14 arms. Some are doing 13-13 now and don't have to make a cut down. So, I don't know that I can check on the Red Sox, but the point being, some teams are going, you know, maybe Duran stays and the Red Sox are forced to drop a pitch or demote a pitcher instead. I don't know.
Thing to throw out there. Christian Bethencourt was picked up. Chris Flexen for 4. Then I got Ezekiel Duran. Go ahead, triple last night I saw.
Good to be honest, Clay, I've lost you. I can see your lips move. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
You know what? It was this plug. It's the plug at the bottom of the mic had been pulled out somehow. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, sorry, man. Ah, technical difficulties, but thanks for bearing with me. I just mentioned that I was pumped to get Ezekiel Duran for 3 because, that go-ahead triple last night and just been playing well. John Birdie for 3. I have a pretty comfortable lead in steals. So I wasn't really looking at him, but that's a nice pickup.
I'm shocked.
3, yeah.
I mean,
I'm pretty shocked, too.
He got 3 steals in the time that we've talked. I'm a little
crazy.
There's no reason not to consider that he's continue to get playing time. I'm a little bit surprised by that.
Nomar Mazara for 2, and then JD Davis looked like he was finally playing a lot. Then he sat a couple times recently, but waiting for the Mets to kind of turn him loose. It feels like they should, but
yeah, demoting Dominic Smith in theory would open up some playing time, but there's a lot of bats there. You know, maybe again back to the notion of pitching. If the Mets have to drop a position player, maybe that'll open up that much more time for Davis.
Yeah, that's a good point there. He was one of those guys who popped up on ex-WOBA leaderboards very early, and I was like,
yeah,
maybe. And then I got him on the cheap in a couple leagues last week. Good on James getting him here. Jason Adam was also a pickup by James, so yeah, could be seeing some saves for Tampa Bay. Caleb Killian for two, Eddie Rosario for a buck. Brad Hand was a $0 bid, so six for Sir Anthony compared to zero for Brad Hand's kind of interesting. Then Mike Moustakas finally for a buck. Anybody else on your mind this week, either for Fab or just any other thoughts you might have?
I've now mentioned it twice. I didn't think of it in time, but maybe I can do it, not have to necessarily do it in the Z files, but I think it could be cool to try to figure out what batters may benefit when their team has to drop they'll be dropping a pitcher and adding a batter. So maybe, will there be any effect of switching the roster composition on Monday? So good news, the Nationals just brought it to a 2-run lead. So we're back to a save situation again.
That is the first game of a doubleheader, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
See if they get a save there. There's something else. Oh, I just wanted to say I'm going to be watching John Gray tonight.
Gray's
got a couple double-digit strikeout games recently.
Yeah, I've been saying I'd like to see a prolonged stretch to see what he can do, and we may be seeing it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. Like, there's a lot. I actually need to check which of the Disney games tonight. I took me half an hour to sign up to be able to watch the Disney games, but I went through the process primarily to hear Katie Nolan, just to see what it was all about. And
was that on Apple or was that Disney?
Oh, I'm sorry. It is Apple. Disney. It is Apple. I'm sorry.
There are a bunch of streaming services.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I was going to say, am I going to have to sign up for Disney Plus?
No. It's Apple. No, that was my
Apple
bad.
TV Plus.
That was my bad.
No, you're
good. So I only saw an inning, and she didn't say much. Apparently, she got said more later in the game. So I got to give Ms. Nolan another chance. I've been a fan for a long time. She grew up about a half a mile from where I grew up. I was twice as old as she is, so whatever, but probably saw her playing in the yard when she was a kid when I used to go by the house. But anyway.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know you guys grew up so close or lived.
We're buds. Yeah, right, sure.
But yeah, she that's kind of cool that she's dabbling into something new, calling games. That's not an easy thing to just jump into, but from all I hear, she's doing a good job.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, but before we get to two-star pitchers for next week, let's pause briefly to hear a quick word from our Blue Wire sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we are back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Clay Link here with Todd Zola, and we will get into grading next week's two-star pitchers, 0 to 5 scale. And the first guy is a pretty tricky one because Zach Davies has pitched really, really well lately. Surprisingly, he goes at San Diego, which doesn't really scare you much, but the Padres somehow right on par with the Dodgers to this point. At San Diego, then versus Detroit, it feels like it could be kind of a trap, but man, he's been pitching just fine. So I get that if you're uncomfortable with it, you may want to skew lower, but I'm going to give him a 3.
I'm working, you know, not that it matters. I'm working blind in that I haven't run my numbers or yet this week. So I'm with you on the 3. I was looking at some of my lineups that I'm going to have to, I can't do pitching until Monday, but I'm behind in strikeouts in a few leagues, primarily because I maybe putting my third closer in a little too much. And you know, even though Davies doesn't get a lot of whiffs, with the two starts, he's someone that I might have to put in if I need to start trying to catch up in that area. Davies getting the strikeouts, but I might need to be more aggressive with two start guys.
But the fact that he's getting two, yeah, I mean, you probably
expect, yeah, exactly, yeah,
you know, high single digits over two starts. And Max Fried's going to be a 5. Then Spencer Strider really has seemed to come into his own. Ooh, as a starting pitcher. Yeah. He's gone 5 2/3 each of his last two outings. He's got a total of 19 Ks.
Yeah, in those check two that starts. Out.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
All right, Fried's easy 5. You don't love either matchup. They're at home, which is okay, but again, it's a hitter's park. I think I got to go at least 3 just because of the strikeouts. I don't know if he's earned a 4 or 5 yet, but I think I'm going to go 3.
Yeah, I like him as an arm quite a bit more than Davies, but I think given the matchups, I'm going to keep him as a 3-2, same grade as Davies. Tyler Wells versus Washington at the White Sox. You know, home against Washington isn't the worst, but man, he's got 4 wins. I guess I got to start paying him some mind. Only 36 Ks in 59 2/3 innings, though. He has gone 6 in back-to-back, so back-to-back quality starts. 3 quality starts in his last 4 turns. Man, I guess I'm going to give him Tyler Wells a 2, I think.
No, I agree. He's one of those guys that I'm going to have on my bench, and he does well, and he's in my lineup. And I mean, I say that a lot, but I actually have Wells on a couple teams, and that's been the case. He's been very, very difficult to judge. He got Red Sox and Yankees, 2 straight games, 11 innings, and he only gave up 2 runs, both to the Yankees. Before that, the Tigers got him for 3 runs in 4 innings. He was active for me that week. You know, I just haven't been able to time. You know, Kansas City, all right, whatever. I mean, 3 runs isn't terrible in 6 innings. But when you play Kansas City, you're kind of hoping for better than that, right? You're hoping to a 1 run in 6 innings, because on a streamer, you need those really good streams to get your aggregate numbers down.
Yeah, I hear you there. Boston Red Sox, by the way, not projected for any 2-star pitchers because we are slotting Garrett Whitlock in to return next weekend after the minimum. Stay on the IL. But just real quick on that team, is there anything to see there with Winkowski?
Yeah.
Gosh, Winkowski, is he somebody to take note of?
I think he's James' 10th prospect on the Red Sox. I think MLB Pipeline has him 12th. He's got fire. He throws the ball, a lot of movement. He just has to learn to control it. You know, reminds me. I don't want to compare him. Well, reminds me of Hunter Green. Hunter Green is better. Okay, I don't want to make it sound like I'm comparing the two. But, you know, throw the ball 100 miles an hour, but you just have to make sure where it's going. So I do think there's something there. If you're in a league, I mean, I don't mind picking him up and using him against Detroit and then maybe lucking into a second start against Cleveland at the end of the week.
Well, that's just what I was going to say. No 2 starts now, but who's to say he doesn't get into one at the end of the next week?
Yeah, if you don't happen to get it, it's not like whatever was his name, Pilkington, the other week, where we expected 2 easy starts. He ended up with 1 against Colorado, something like that. So you're guaranteed a nice start against the Tigers, and maybe Cleveland's not a pushover, as you know, but you know, it's still not, you know, it's not at Colorado or at New York.
Yeah, versus Detroit's pretty nice, and then you know, see what happens beyond that. But I'll probably have him on a couple lists. Yep. Thanks for the intel on Josh Winkowski. I've not gotten eyes on him myself. Caleb Killian's a pretty highly touted prospect. I know James kind of likes him long term, but stuff has not been very good at Pitt, at St. Louis. I think I'm going to give Killian a one because I think he's a lot better than what he's shown. But Matt Swarmer also gets those same matchups at Pitt, at St. Louis. I'm going to give Swarmer a zero.
Swarmer is zero. Now, this is more, I don't know, narrative, anecdotal, psychological, whatever. Having seen Killian in his last start, he was wild. He was overthrowing. Maybe he gets that out of his system. And I'm going to give him a two for the Pittsburgh and St. Louis starts.
Okay.
But my spreadsheet's not going to say that. That's me. That's me overriding my spreadsheet.
I hear you. Well, that game that he had earlier this week against the Padres was one of those weird, windy, weekly games. It was blown out like 16 miles per hour. So
right.
I didn't put much stock into that.
Exactly. That was. I think we were talking. No, we weren't. Maybe it wasn't that game, but we were talking off air about our relative, you know, respective weather situations. You're talking about the tornado close to you. Was it that game that the tornado there was a game?
Yeah, I think that was this.
It was postponed. Yeah, it was delayed like an hour. It was like Tuesday because it was our Tout Daily night. There were tornadoes in the Chicago, Milwaukee area. And I don't remember who was that game because the day after was pretty windy too.
Yeah, there was some weird weather here. It was like here in Madison, it was like 3 p.m. and it was pitch black outside.
Wow, yeah.
It was really weird, but we avoided the worst of it on here on the north side of Madison. I guess that's not where I am currently. I'm downtown at the office right now, but I live on the north side. Tyler Mahle had probably his best start ever in the big leagues. He went deeper into a contest than he's ever gone. Went the full nine innings. Of course, in classic Reds fashion, they didn't get him a win for nine scoreless. They had to get that in extras. Really weird game, but nice to see that. He continues to be road Mahle. But he had a pretty good home start against Arizona, too, before that, struck out 10. So for him, the matchup's pretty scary. At home against the Dodgers, then at San Francisco, we know how he is at home. It's not always pretty. But I think with the way he's pitching now, I'm going to give him a three. Even with those home struggles,
I'm contemplating a four, but I'm going to go three, primarily because he, as you mentioned, he went deep into that game, and it looked like he could have kept going. Okay. I had him in DFS that night, and he was cruising. He was still throwing strong late in the game, but I don't the first game after a game like that, maybe you don't throw as many innings, and it's the Dodgers, so I'm going to go three. But I think he's kind of a four pitcher at this point, and then you go based on the matchups.
I hope he can learn to kind of trust this stuff a little bit more at home. Maybe not.
Yeah, that would be nice.
So much about short dimensions of that field because he's just so great on the road. But then he gets home, and it's just not anywhere close to that same level.
Yeah.
Aaron Civale expected back next week. He started for AAA Columbus on Wednesday, dealing with a thigh injury. He really struggled early on. Any reason to roll the dice with Civale his first start back?
I don't know if he's on your team, you can use him, but he's probably on a lot of waiver wires. I don't know that I'm picking him up. I mean, I'm going to have to make some decisions to some draft champions because I do have him in draft champions, but I don't love the Minnesota and Boston matchups at all.
Me neither. Then next week, it looks like he would be home against the Yankees. So.
Yeah.
Not really any spot to use him. So I think you're right. I'm going to give him a zero and leave him be. Cut him if you're late to the party.
I'm going
to
give him a one, but it's a desperate. It's I don't know if he can be desperate 60 games into the season, but I'm going to give him a one. There are scenarios where I could see he could be used in draft champions, but he's not on my waterfall. As a matter of fact, I'm making sure I have some caffeine right before I do it to make sure I don't click on him accidentally.
Man, Austin Gomber continues to break.
Next.
I don't know why people I mean, I've gone down some holes many times when I should have given up on a player before, but over his last four starts, Austin Gomber has allowed 24 earned runs. That's wild. 17 innings, 24 earned runs, three homers, seven walks. Only two of those were at home, by the way, over his last four. Now he's on the road for two, but burn me once, burn me a million times. Shame on you, but burn me a million and one times. Shame on me, and I'll finally learn my lesson. So I'm going to give Gomber a zero.
I'm going to give him a one. I probably shouldn't. I'm with you. I mean, with
watch
you,
him have like his best.
I've actually had some luck with Gomber, but you know, I mean, of course, sat him against San Francisco. You hear the Gomber police are coming to get me. Apparently, that's a bad call.
Yeah, that is kind of ominous that those warnings sirens went off when you started talking about.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good chance that between the firehouse across the street, the police station two blocks down, and a hospital about a half mile away. I think we've drowned out most of the noise when I record from here, but I can't stop the sirens. There's nothing I can do about that.
That's all right. Just kind of anyway, ominous time.
It's become kind of a, you know, we make jokes about it anyway. But all right. You know, make a decision, Zola. One or zero. I'm going to say one. I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to say one.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I got you one, but I'm going to stick zero.
And now I have to find a place I have them and I have to use them just because it's easy for me to say. I'm going to have to try to either I may have to try to bid them somewhere just to be able to use them and put my money where my mouth is.
Well, that's I respect that, but I may advise going the other way on that.
I don't like money. That's the thing. One of the best things ever told to me by a guy. It was at a bachelor party right outside. It was like Sluggers in Wrigley Field. And it wasn't my turn to buy a round, but I bought a round because I was thirsty. And my buddy says, put summer, he goes, the reason you never have any money is because when you do have money, you spend it. And that was
simple,
30 years ago. And on the nose. Nothing has ever rang more true with me. But anyway.
Well, Lance Lynn's back with not such a good outing earlier this week at Detroit too. It seemed like a nice little landing for him, but he gave up 10 hits in just 4 1/3 innings, so three in runs, a homer. Did have zero walks compared to 4 Ks. So that's, you know, you like to see that, but not quite there yet versus Toronto versus Baltimore. I think you've been holding on to him. You turn him loose, but he's not any higher than a 3 for me.
Yeah. Did you see he had a little beef with the third base coach? On positioning, over positioning.
Oh yeah, there was a little in the dugout.
Yeah,
scuffle as you.
Yeah. There we go. He didn't agree with one of the positions. He got burned on the shift, and you know, et cetera. He gave up 7 of those 10 hits, like the first two innings. I don't love the Toronto matchup, which is why I'm going to stay with a 3. But I'm not giving up on Lynn because of that poor outing. He got babipped, if you will, and then a little frustrated. I wish it wasn't Toronto, but I'm gonna be with you on a 3.
I hear you there. So Lynn a 3. Then I'm gonna give Cease a 4. He's pretty inconsistent, but
yeah, you have 4 or 5. I mean, he's 5 talent, but again, it's Toronto, and yeah, I can't go 5 just yet.
Yeah, now Alex Faedo and Bo Brisky have had some moments lately. It's at Boston, though, and then at Arizona. At Arizona's nice, but that at Boston's hard for me to get over. So, Fido and Brisky, I just can't even see it. They're better than zeros as pitchers, but I think I'm going to give them zeros, just give them context.
Fido, whatever day it was this week, I forget, maybe Wednesday, had a nice matchup. Yeah, it had to be Wednesday if he's starting on Monday. You know, wrote him up on my ESPN piece as streamer of the day. And in the first inning, gave up a home run to Yoan Moncada, hitting like 150 at the time. Mm-hmm. So that turned south pretty quickly. Again, if it wasn't Boston, we'd have a different story here. I think he's like a 3 pitcher based on matchups. You know what? I'm going to go 1 for Faedo just because I think he is. No, I'm not. I'm going to go 0. Okay. I'm going to go 0 for both.
Okay.
I've already
I've already put out.
I can't pick them both up. If I'm picking Gomber up for business, I can't pick Faedo up too.
I dropped Brisky in the 18 team staff keeper league. Kind of regret that, just given how deep that league is. But oh well. That's where I was on Brisky like a week ago, so I'm not going to change my mind too much after one good start. Jose Urquidy's not been great, but he's a lot better than a 4.99 ERA. Matchups aren't great, though. Home against the Mets, then at the Yankees. He hasn't been great, so I'm going to give him a 3, but I'm still expecting, you know, kind of 4-ish level performance the rest of the way.
Yeah, I need to – I'm gonna say a 2, but my numbers may come out to be a 3 when I run them.
Say 2 for Jose Urquidy.
Okay. Going on record as a 2.
Brady Singer, I was hoping was going to get 2 this week. How do you – he got squeezed out of a second one this week, huh? Well, that's frustrating. I'm just thinking about now my tout head-to-head league. I'm in a slugfest with the defending champion Frank Stampfl. But now that I think about it, I can't even bench Singer because I picked him up last week. Anyway, he now lines up for 2 next week at the Angels versus Oakland. He's been one of the few bright spots in that on that pitching staff. Along with Jonathan Heasley, he's been pretty good lately. But Singer, those matchups, you know, I love picking on Oakland, and the Angels aren't so scary anymore either. So I'm going to give Singer a 3.
I am too. I agree.
Yeah, okay. I kind of bummed that he missed that second one this week. Well, what can you do? No 2-star pitchers for the Angels. They are keeping Reed Detmers in that rotation, so still sticking 6-man. And Tony Gonsolin's earned his way into that 5 realm. One of the best pitchers in the National League so far, and really has helped carry the slack for that Dodgers rotation. At Cincinnati, at Atlanta, kind of tough venues, but he's reached 5 for me.
I'm going to go 4, and this could be the week. He has been very fortunate with the home run, and this could be the week.
Great American could hurt.
Yeah, and, well, Atlanta too. This could be the week he gets his comeuppance. So
Atlanta just, 14 straight wins? Crazy.
They can do no wrong. It's silly. But I am concerned about Gonsolin that, you know, this could be the week that the home runs catch up.
Yeah, that's probably a wise word of warning, but yes, since he just they've shown flashes, and actually since starting 3-22 or whatever, they haven't been that bad.
Oh, they were. It's been a few days, so it's changed. But they were 19-17 immediately after that start. I don't what they've done the past couple of days. I don't know. I don't recall.
The Reds no longer in dead last in that division. They are still in last, but not. Not alone down there in the cellar.
Right.
Cubs. Okay. Cubs now have the same record as the Reds, amazingly. For the Marlins, Trevor Rogers and Daniel Castano, I believe. It is Daniel Castano. Trevor Rogers has been super frustrating. Let me think here about these matchups. It looks like he's going to get the Mets twice. So at the Mets, then at home against the Mets. That's kind of I don't always love that because, you know, seeing a pitcher so close in such a short span, the offense could kind of get a good read on him. But I'm going to give Trevor Rogers a 3, I think.
Wow, that's about 4 higher than I'd give him.
negative 1?
I'm finally giving up. His changeup is just terrible. And without the changeup, there's no hope. So I'm giving him a 0. I've been looked into him. I'm done. Castano? I love lefties against Colorado and in Miami. I'm going to give him a 1. It's kind of a desperation 1, but I'm going to go 1. The matchups aren't terrible.
Who would have thought 2.5 months ago one of us
would have it'd be ridiculous. I mean, Rogers is a 5. The velocity is fine. Velocity's changeup is up 1.5 miles, which could be part of the problem. But it's just not – whether he's tipping it, I don't know. But without that change, he's worthless, and that's he doesn't have the change right now.
I bumped him down to a 2, Trevor Rogers, but okay. I got you down as a 0. Castano, I got 0, Todd 1.
I'm going to go with a 1. I don't know why, but I'm going to go with a 1.
All right, I hear you. I have Rogers in a few leagues. I'll probably start him in a couple, but I maybe it's time for me to think about benching or just dropping.
Well, you got a couple days. Take a look. Figure it out.
Yeah, Corbin Burnes is going to be versus St. Louis versus Toronto. You're starting him all the time no matter what, so that's a 5. Now, Aaron Ashby's got some something going on with his elbow. There's some left forearm inflammation. Then they later clarified, manager Craig Counsell did, that it's more so a fatigue issue. But I would say Ashby's start early next week, and yeah, him lining up for two is very much tentative, even more so than normal. And he's really struggled lately, giving up a ton of hits. It's not often you see Aaron Ashby this hittable.
Right. And, you know, you can, is it just being babbled in some bad luck, or is it command and control? It's probably a little bit of both. He's probably, you know, and sometimes it mushrooms in that you give a couple of unlucky hits and now you're going from the stretch and you're not as effective from the stretch. So you're more vulnerable. You know, again, with the big caveat about, is he even going to go? He's a two, but that's based on talent. He hasn't done all that well lately.
Yeah, I had him as a one just because he has been so hittable lately. And
you know what? Toronto. Yeah, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go down to a one because I don't like either of those matchups.
Okay, I got you down as a one and two. And then Joe Ryan's back versus Cleveland versus Colorado. So you get Colorado in Minnesota, you get Cleveland in Minnesota. That's pretty nice. Is Joe Ryan like back to four? I think he's a four for me.
I need to check the logs and how far he's been going into games.
He went rehab. 4 2/3 in his return.
Of course. So that's kind of on that cusp, right? Yeah. Whenever you go 4 2/3 on a rehab, that tells you that he had a pitch count, right?
Well, that was actually in the majors on June 14th. Oh, okay. And so that was... 4 2/3 on the 14th against Seattle.
Oh, by saying he's back. Okay. I thought
you. No, yeah, I get what you're saying. You probably thought I was saying he's back.
He didn't ferret two homers, so he was taken out because he stunk. I'm going to go three. To me, he hasn't quite proven that he's in that four range. Even when he was healthy, wasn't fanning a batter an inning. Was pretty lucky with 34 hits and 48 innings pitched. So I'm going to go three.
Nice. And no two-star pitchers for the Mets next week because. With Max Scherzer slated to make a rehab start Tuesday, we are projecting Scherzer back at the tail end of next week on Sunday the 26th. So that'll make for a tough lineup decision for people who have Scherzer. Like, do you start him with the hope that he starts next Sunday the 26th? Kind of a tough call, but you know, you got to think if he makes it through that Tuesday game unscathed, that he does come back 5 days after that. But we'll see. Nestor Cortez and Luis Severino, both fives. Could you debate that at all?
No. Was there something with Severino and an injury? Or am I confusing it with somebody else? COVID-19. It was COVID-19. Okay. Yeah, no. So we're going to stay fine.
He's back from COVID. Okay. Yeah, he's looked like he's back to being his old self. So that's big. And Nestor Cortez, I was talking with Nick Whalen on our XM show, and you hosted with Nick this week too.
Yep.
He was saying that Gerrit Cole currently has longer odds for the Cy Young than Nestor Cortez. So I get that the Cy Young's a lot to do with, you know, what they've done to date. But that still kind of surprises me that.
No, let's just say it. That's dumb. that's.
I would not put money on.
That's a way. That's a Vegas way. I don't want to say dumb because Vegas doesn't money keep out of dumb people. Things. That's a way to get more money. You know, that's a way to get more money there. I'm not, to me, it's a sucker bet. Cole, there's no reason that to believe Cole is struggling anyway whatsoever.
Yeah, I think they said, or I think Nick said Cortez was 11-1 and Cole was 12-1. So it seems like a decent bet on Cole if you're somewhere where that's legal. James Caprillion, 0-4, 6.31 ERA, but he's versus Seattle and at KC. You maybe buy low on Caprillion. I'm going to give him a one just because I'll probably throw a spec to see maybe if I can get him.
I think he was in that game against Winkowski, and it was very similar. Both were 195, but you just weren't sure where it was going. Hmm. I think Caprillion was out for a bit. I'm going to go with a one as well, and it is on spec in that hopefully knocking some rust off that he can exhibit better control.
Yeah, I like those matchups for Caprillion, so I will consider him, probably have him as a backup on some.
Right, I can see that.
Kyle Gibson at Texas, at San Diego. He's been serviceable. I don't have him on any team, so I kind of He's kind of flown under my radar, but I guess I got to give Kyle Gibson at Texas, at San Diego. Give him a three.
I mean, I guess if you give Davies a three, you're going to give Gibson a three because aren't they kind of the same?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's a good comp right there.
Kind of, and looking at the matchups, San Diego, and well, Davies has better matchups. Therefore, I can say two with Gibson and blame it on the matchups. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say two.
Two? Okay, I got three, but I got you down as a two. We will, of course, recap these grades after it's all said and done. Mentioned that JT Brubaker was picked up in the stake league. I don't get it, man. I drafted him in the main event. It's one of my reserve spots and cut him like a week or two into the season. 0-7. Now, he does get the Cubs and at Tampa Bay, but honestly, like, this is kind of the Austin Gomber situation, right? Just, I can't keep, you know, what's the definition of insanity? Keep going to the same well and expecting different results or whatever. So,
right.
I think that's, you know, chasing after Brubaker feels like an insane move to me right now, but, you know, he's better than an 0-7 record and 450 ERA, maybe. I'll give him a one, but I'm probably not going to be picking him up.
See, in your league, Thursday to Friday to Thursday, he's at Tampa and home against Milwaukee. So one can argue the matchups are favorable, but I'm kind of with you in that. I mean, they're similar to, you know, home against Chicago and at Tampa, kind of the same type of matchups. I'm going to go with a one. I mean, he's better than he's pitched, but even, you know, that's kind of a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, it's not saying a whole lot. Ronzi Contreras, I'm much more interested in if he's still out there. I'm going to give Contreras a three with these matchups, again, versus Chicago at home, Cubs, and at Tampa Bay.
I'm gonna go two. I like it long term, but I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to have that influence how I feel he'll do this week.
Good call. You got to kind of, you know, compartmentalize those two.
Yeah,
things.
Yeah.
Darvish, Yu Darvish versus Arizona versus Philly. Like those matchups. Philly kind of, you know, scary offense a little bit, but yeah, I think Darvish, I'm actually going to elevate back to the five tier.
Yep, I think he deserves a five for sure.
Yeah, he's back in that mix. Marco Gonzalez is just a magician. He's a wizard. I don't watch wrestling much, but I saw that Chris Jericho is now calling himself the Wizard for some reason. But Marco Gonzalez is the wizard of Major League Baseball. But 3.41 ERA at Oakland, at the Angels. Never liked this guy's stuff, but I'm going to give him a two just because he's, again, he somehow gets it done.
Yeah, I don't watch wrestling nearly as much as I used to, but Twitter still thinks I do. And I'm getting all sorts of Vince McMahon news on my feed.
Yeah, big day in the wrestling.
So I did have Vince to take a little look at that. But anyway, Gonzalez, again, he's in that Davies kind of, you know, tier, if you will. I'm going to go these matchups, Oakland and L.A., I'm going to go three. I think he's in that neighborhood.
I hear you. I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I am too. It does, but not nearly as often as we think it will, you know, or as we expect it to.
Logan Webb's going to be a five for me, even with the at Atlanta to start. Then he's home against the Reds, so I like that. He's a five. But Anthony DeSclafani's been one of the bigger disappointments of the year. Like, did he end up with Disco anywhere?
Oh, everywhere. I was well into him. And I don't know if you can say 13. Can you call 13 innings a disappointment?
I guess not, but he's missed 22 all the hits. Time. Yeah.
Yeah, 22. Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah. Yes, if I drafted, I am certainly disappointed. However, to me, it's not a Trevor Rogers scenario. 22 hits and 13 and a third, so there's some bad luck there. 13 to 2, strikeout to walk. I like that. So I am cautiously optimistic that I will no longer be disappointed re-Anthony DeSclafani.
Nice. Okay, so I'm going to give Disco a two, I think. What about
I'm going to give him a two this week.
Yeah.
I am. It's enough for me, and I probably have him in some DCs to go for it and to jump him and to start him this week. It could be a mistake, but I'm going to do it.
So for the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals, Miles Michaelis at Milwaukee, at home against the Cubs, and then same for Jack Flaherty. Michaelis is a four for me. Does he reach five for you, or is four?
No, no. He kind of leads that Davies tier, you know? He's kind of the epitome of the strike out a lot of guys, but
for me, he's one step up from that. But
yeah, you know what? Yes, he is. He's the same type of pitcher, but he's in a higher tier. I agree. I think that's good. I think that's.
And how do you grade Flaherty though? I mean, he's now back.
I let you do it. Then no, I'm just kidding. So I talked to her, so I can use this to publicize the podcast with Brian Walton.
Yeah.
Who obviously is a not obviously, but we know he works on a website called The Cardinal Nation. So obviously knows the Cardinals. Yeah, he was telling me yesterday in the pod, and please go back and listen to it, that Flaherty was trying to throw the ball through Brian's words, through Yadier Molina yesterday. Just wanted to come back and help the team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, it was just wild. So Brian expects him to dial it back, regain some composure. Having said that, I don't know how many innings, what he's willing, ready to go. I'm going to say three. I mean, this is people think he's a five talent, and he may be, but I need to see it. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Reputation deserves the three, but I'm not going any higher.
Yeah, I actually considered going a little lower, but then Milwaukee's been really struggling. So.
Yeah, I could. Oh, they got Colton Wong coming back, and he's gonna. I'm a big Colton Wong
fan. Watch
out!
Yeah, no,
but
apologies. Actually,
I'm gonna have some decisions to make because I had to replace couple of middle infielders just went out of the lineup. It doesn't matter. It's my problem, not yours. But anyway, the point being, with Colton Wong coming back, I'm going to have to decide, do I put him in over some of, Bryson Stott, who I just picked up, Luis Garcia, who I picked up. I'm going to have to make that decision if Wong's worth putting in.
Yeah, the lineup decisions right now are kind of tough because we have all this new evidence from this year, but do you want to give up on guys you drafted? It's tough. And one guy who by the way, just while we're on the topic of the Cardinals, Yadier Molina, not any sort of new injury, but just his knees seem to be shot, so he'll be out for a while. I wonder if that maybe actually makes the Cardinals a little better, like Andrew Kisner taking on more work, and Yadi just doesn't seem to be helping that team. It hasn't been for most of the season.
Well, it's his final year. We know that. And Brian, I wish I remembered the name, gave us the name of a catcher. That a 22-year-old kid.
Yeah, James mentioned him today too on the show.
Yeah,
that, I forget his name.
We can check it out. That very well might be coming up by the end of the season. Hmm. So it's just someone to keep in mind.
Yeah, let me look at the
Yeah, I was looking. I'm actually looking for the second baseman that I lost.
I think it's Ivan Herrera.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly.
James says I'm seventh in the system.
That's exactly who it is.
193 overall. So yeah, maybe they give Ivan Herrera a look, but Andrew Kisner in the meantime, for the most part. Shane McClanahan's a five, looking like the Cy Young favorite in the American League right now.
Yep. No, it was Segura that I had to replace.
Oh,
Segura, so yeah. I have a lot of replacements since I had Segura. So now it's just when Juan comes back, am I going to have to put someone in? Albies just went out, so people have been picking up second baseman. But no, absolutely, McClanahan is a five.
No two-star pitchers for Texas, but then Jose Berríos at the White Sox at Milwaukee. He's a lot better than a 4.65 ERA, so I'm going to give Jose Berríos a four, I think.
Yeah, he's kind of recovered from his early season woes. It's weird that, seven innings, three runs against Baltimore, we were actually disappointed in Berríos. That should be a good start, especially how he was doing. But I saw some people that it's Baltimore. I wanted better. I'll take seven innings and three runs against a college team. That's pretty good.
Yeah, don't get greedy in this game. You can't get greedy. Yeah. If you guys shows improvement, you just got to be happy with it.
Yeah.
So let's recap these grades real quick, and then we will sign off on this Friday. Zach Davies, by the way, these are the two-star pitchers for the week of June 20th, 2022. Zach Davies, three. Max Fried, 5. Spencer Strider, 3. Tyler Wells, 2. Caleb Killian, I say 1. Todd, 2. Matt Swarmer, 0. Tyler Malley, 3. Aaron Savali, I say 0. Todd, 1. Austin Gomber, I say 0. Todd, 1. Lance Lynn, 3. Dylan Cease, 4. Alex Fajito, 0. Bo Brisky, 0. Jose Urquidy, I say 3. Todd, 2. Brady Singer, 3. Tony Gonsolin, I say 5. Todd, 4. Trevor Rogers, I say 2. Todd, 0. Daniel Castano, I say 0. Todd, 1. Corbin Burns, 5. Aaron Ashby, 1. Very much tentative on Ashby. Mm. Joe Ryan, I say 4. Todd, 3. Nestor Cortez, 5. Luis Severino, 5. James Caprillion, 1. Kyle Gibson, I say 3. Todd, 2. JT Brubaker, 1. Ronzi Contreras, I say 3. Todd, 2. Yu Darvish, 5. Marco Gonzalez, I say 2. Todd, 3. Logan Webb, 5. Anthony DeSclafani, 2. Miles Michaelis, 4. Jack Flaherty, 3. Shane McClanahan, 5. Then finally, Jose Barrios, 4. Well, great stuff, Todd. Always appreciate it. Thanks for filling in on so much media this week. Anything else on your mind today?
Yeah, you know what? I'm having a really good time. We kind of alluded to it, writing the Todd's takes. So even though they're supposed to be based on the previous day's games, and or to, I have enough other stuff in there that I think they're, to me, it's fun to write. Hopefully it's fun for you guys to read. So check that out. It's been fun.
Glad you're enjoying it, man. And thanks for taking on even more for us. We are thrilled to have you. And if we had MVP votes, you might get my MVP vote.
I think it's a team effort. Now, as you know, it's what we have another 2 in part of the rest of the weekend before we're cleared up a few days on the radio. We're switching over to our football crew.
Yeah, so, that's right. That's next week are the last shows for me and James of the year.
Yeah, part of the impetus of doing the Todd's takes was stuff I say on the radio. I'm like, I got all these things to say. Jeff's not on the other end. So now I get to put him on the website anyway. So,
well, the more Todd Zola, the better, in my opinion. So thanks, Todd. Thank you all for listening. Hope you all have a great week. And hope you'll join us next week on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast.